Welcome to the Iron Mind Podcast. Join me, Josh Brumley, as we explore the minds of those who forged their paths through legal battles, business triumphs, and creative conquests. In each episode, we sit down with inspiring individuals who've sharpened their resolve in the fires of entrepreneurship and law. From lawyers breaking barriers to entrepreneurs overcoming obstacles, we uncover the stories behind their iron wills and innovative minds. Get ready for thought-provoking conversations, practical insights, and actionable advice. This is the Iron Mind Podcast. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm here today with Alex Deakinson, who has a proven record of success with his vision, strategy, and art of storytelling. He's a partner and senior visual consultant at DK Global, arguably the top visuals firm in the nation. Being no stranger to the courtroom, Deakinson has 13 jury trials under his belt, acting as a trial technician and consultant. With over a decade of experience, Alex has consulted on over 1,000 cases, resulting in over $1.5 billion in verdicts and settlements. He's consulted on matters involving major corporations such as FedEx, Nestle, U.S. Airways, Honda, Ford, Toyota, Sears, the U.S. government, and many other national and international entities. Alex notably consulted and worked on the Marotti versus Cosmopolitan trial, which we'll get into a little bit, resulting in a landmark $160.5 million verdict. Deakinson also worked on the Rust case and George Floyd's case and the BP oil spill case. Wow, that's quite a resume.
Thank you. Yeah, been fortunate enough to have consulted and been a part of the visual strategies on a lot of cases. And this November, I'll actually be 15 years working in this industry space. So thank you for having me on, and really happy to be here and talk some visual shop.
Awesome. Thank you. So you said 15 years. What was the path that led you into being a consultant in visuals for law firms?
Sure. Yeah. You know, I was introduced onto the path in kind of a roundabout way. I grew up in a very medical household. My dad is a trauma surgeon still, and was one of the trauma surgeons and directors at Mayo Clinic. My mom was a nurse for an office for a long time, and my stepmom was also a trauma nurse. So grew up in a household that they just talk freely, would tell us stories about, you know, crazy injuries. And we grew up in a very anatomically directed household. So that just made sense to me. And that didn't come until later. But I was always interested in visual storytelling. I think in high school, I started getting into, I was in a mass media class where it was all about film production and had touched on cognitive science and influence. And I was always very interested in the sociological component of what made people choose things the way that they do, or why they think the way that they do. So psychology, sociology were always interests of mine. And then film was an interest of mine too. So I started working with DK Global on a pro bono project back in 2009 on prescription pill abuse, back when OxyContin against Purdue Pharma wasn't really known, and before it was a national, you know, declared national emergency and pandemic. And I was introduced to the CEO and ended up being hired on at ground level. I think I was like part-time assistant to administration. And the visuals space and litigation just was fascinating to me. And you know, I used to watch this show on FX called 1,000 Ways to Die. Dark, but it did reenactments plus medical style animations of how people became deceased out of like freak accidents. And when I was introduced to DK Global, I could see that, you know, we just live in such a visual realm. Everyone's getting their information off of a screen. You watch a couple of episodes of CSI, all of a sudden you're a detective. You watch a season of House and you're a diagnostics expert all of a sudden. Yeah. And that's our jury, you know? So it was just a fascinating space. And I completely just fell in love with visual communication as a whole. And it just happens to be in the legal space that I do most of my work.
That's awesome. That's a great way to explain it. That is the jury that we see. I'm always fascinated by how stories can transform our understanding and emotions. In your career, have you seen visual aids like 3D animations change legal cases, narratives, and the emotional impact of people in a courtroom?
100%. And what I've seen specifically is, and also because earlier on in my career, and DK Global Services offered trial technician work. So I was a visual consultant, sales, and, you know, producing animations, and I'd, you know, help creative direct projects with animators and illustrators. But then I had the opportunity to be in the hot seat inside the courtroom, inside the trial. And you may have a case, obviously, as everyone knows, litigation can be a lengthy process. So when your client is injured, you know, especially when it comes to brain injuries or scarring, you know, stuff heals, your body heals, right? So 2 years later, when they're in the courtroom, they may not look as damaged as they were when the motor vehicle accident just happened, or the dog attack just happened, or the product failure, you know, of Takata airbags, you know, set shrapnel and cut their face and neck. So what I was able to see is the visceral reactions inside the jury box when they would see an animation that wasn't so medically sterile. You know, when you don't have a visual, you have a physician on the stand going over their operative note of how they made, you know, a lateral incision around the cervical area to, you know, expose, you know, the lamina, you know, it's like, and then go through and walk through the specifics of a surgery. They're kind of, you know, half of them are glazed over and the other half are, you know, somewhat following along, but they're not very aware. So showing incisions, showing dynamic content that is medically accurate, but still visceral and humanizes it, absolutely evokes emotion. And we do a lot of presentations that are for demand packages, mediations, and also geared for trial that will show the fresh wound of a dog bite to an 8-year-old's face, which is horrific, but it evokes emotion, right? Because 2 years later, they've healed. And the other side or the insurance companies will say, well, you know, there's some scarring, but how bad is it really? Well, then we can do an age progression animation to show that their smile is going to be different. And every time that they look in the mirror, it may just be for a split second, or it may rabbit trail into minutes of thought of that incident and what life is going to be like. Am I going to have the scarring? And is my smile and my nerves ever going to heal? It's really just communicating that type of impact and the emotion that your client can feel. So I think, you know, it's valuable and impactful on so many different levels.
Wow. Yeah, that's really interesting. I had no idea that you guys did demand work and mediation work as well. I thought it was all trial exhibits. So this is really important for people to know.
Yeah. I think you can utilize it along any timeline, you know. If it makes economic sense, and if it makes sense in the case, you have a case where FedEx rear-ended somebody and it is clear-cut liability, and you know, you really want to separate your mediation, your brief from the stack, working up an animated presentation that goes over the damages can save a year plus of litigation time, and just really shows the adjusters and the other side how serious you're taking the case. And we're still checking the boxes and crossing the T's and dotting I's as if they're trial exhibits. And even if an expert isn't involved yet, we can always come back and, you know, revisit to make sure that the admissibility and foundation is there. But, you know, I'm a huge advocate for utilizing visuals early to tell your client's story, because it may save time and it really communicates the severity of damages that your client may have. And I think on another side, it shows the other side how prepared you are for this case and the lengths you're willing to go to get the proper valuation.
Yeah. I think an insurance company takes a second look at things when they realize that the attorney's willing to invest money in their case.
Absolutely.
And you brought up a really great point, admissibility and foundation. Can you talk about what your company knows or looks at to develop these to make sure that there's not going to be issues for the attorney in the process? Like, what's your experience with, you're speaking, you know, all the legal jargon that's coming out, I'm very surprised. It's great news. Obviously, you've done a lot of big big name cases, worked with big trial attorneys, and so how's that experience in trial developed into the business of making sure that there's admissibility in these exhibits?
Definitely. And, you know, Working with our company, we have a specific process to ensure the best possible chance of admissibility. I've helped give language to some of my clients for specific motions that, you know, the other side will raise to, you know, try and get our stuff thrown out. Because if the other side is really about their business, they're going to try and get everything thrown out because it's not good for their case, you know. So whether working with any visuals company or with us, you always want to make sure that the proper experts are involved during the production process. And we're very aware that expert time is valuable and expensive. And, you know, while we want to invest appropriately into cases to get the best possible return for your client, we totally understand that attorneys have to protect their client's net. So our process is very dialed in the sense where we do the groundwork, we look at the case, we do the fact assessment, we have rough storyboards that are sketches that an expert will spend maybe 5 to 10 minutes looking at, if that, depending on the complexity of the case. They give their blessing on it. We do a rough preview. The preview is the actual moving animated component, but none of the textures, none of the lighting, none of the sexiness of the 3D work is on there yet. It's just the mechanics of how the car crashed and the fire truck passed the double yellow at this speed and how does that look. And let's just make sure everything's dialed in. And then when they approve that, we go into a draft, which is basically near the final step. And what that does is it allows you to state accurately and truthfully that my client is you know, wanting this exhibit to come in for their case. Here is the expert that was involved, and this expert took a directorial hand from start to finish of this exhibit. We don't look at exhibits like they're DK Global exhibits. Yes, 100% we produce them. We are the paintbrush, but it's your expert's opinions, facts, analysis, and, you know, it's their work. So it's your experts. And we try to empower the physicians. We try to empower the bioneck and accident reconstruction engineers to really be confident with it, because they see the cake as it bakes, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then they know everything that's about it. They know what's in it. And then that translates, you know, to a jury. I always recommend getting it done before a deposition. That way it's in the deposition. And if there are any objections to any tiny little nuances of, I don't like the word speed, you know, it's like, I don't like this word, that's argumentative, we have on record in deposition all of the other side's issues with it. We have a clean version that fixes it. So when you're in motions arguing to keep this in and they say they have an issue with the language, you could say, depending on how the judge rules, you could say, no worry, Your Honor, we have a version that is actually sterilized of that specific content and you're ready to roll, you know. So whether you're working with us or any company, getting an expert involved is important. Having them at least touch base during the production process at a couple milestone points is good. And, you know, really it's just making sure that they are comfortable with it and that the expert is aware and knows that it's their content, it's their data. The physician knows, hey, this is a visual translation of the operative note that you dictated. Like, this is just that. And we're here to just empower you and help you to tell the jury and communicate what you did in the OR. So I'm always a fan and proponent of getting an expert involved early, because when it comes to foundation and admissibility, you know, that's the key is having, you know, that individual being able to speak to it, see it. And then you could tell the judge, you know, hey, this, the expert was involved the entire time.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And weaving that into the deposition is very, very valuable. So your work on cases like Marotti versus Cosmopolitan, the George Floyd case, the Rust matter with Alec Baldwin, and BP's oil spill, super impactful stuff. Could you share any behind the scenes information about how you weaved the visual storytelling into those landmark cases to bring the truth to light?
Definitely. So the Marotti case was an interesting one. That was a billion-dollar hedge fund manager who was inside of a nightclub in Las Vegas. And I learned a lot over this case. And one of the things I learned is that security guards have zero authority to touch you whatsoever. They are not supposed to grab you, rough hand. They're there to protect and then call other proper authorities if you need to be removed or reprimanded. There was an altercation where our client was in the club, and he was trying to pay his tab. And it's a little unclear about what the details were, but he was trying to get his credit card back, and an altercation ensued. And one of the security guards, several security guards, put him in a headlock, hit him against, like, they were running. We have this on surveillance video. They put him in a headlock and rammed his head against the door as they were taking him out to the back. And then he went up to the room and had the wherewithal to take some photos of himself, where he had some bruising and he had some damage on his left eyebrow and hit the left side of his face. And he, you know, had been assaulted. So he took some photos. And the difficult part of the case was he did have a brain injury. It was a very, very small lesion, but it was there. And what was difficult about this case is that after he took photos of himself and documented his injuries and we're saying, hey, he's brain injured, he went downstairs and won like $60,000 on the tables. So the other side really tried to utilize those types of facts. Like, if he's got such a bad brain injury, how could he go downstairs and win all this money? You know, but what we were able to do with the visuals is identify the lesion that was in the frontal lobe of his brain affected him cognitively. It affected his personality enough, memory issues enough, and then we started pulling and connecting it to testimony, deposition testimony of his coworkers. Mostly, he's not on the ball enough. He's forgetting certain things. And one huge important fact about this case is that if you are a hedge fund manager, legally, if you are diagnosed with any kind of brain injury, you have to submit that information, because you're making very large financial decisions for your clients. Well, he had to submit that he had a traumatic brain injury, and his fund was taken from him. So he lost his billion-dollar hedge fund, even though he won money after, he got married after. Like, his life did not go catastrophically bad, but it changed the fabric of who he was when it came to how he thinks and processes information. So that one, it all had to do with the experts on that one. And we did visual translation slides where we identified the lesion. We connected it to that level of where the exterior damage was. We took his actual photo that he took from that night, overlaid the actual medical image flat on the his head, and then identified the lesion being right behind the point of impact of where they hit his head against the door. So what we were able to do is really just tie the visuals, you know, together with the damages, the experts, and then they all, you know, were able to get, you know, that kind of result. And in between the verdict and the punitive damages verdict is when the case ultimately settled, because it got a $160.5 million verdict, and then a $42 million punitive damages was coming, but they settled in between because the other side, they had no idea. They really did not think that it was going to happen. But ultimately, you know, the lawyers that worked up this case are just incredibly excellent trial attorneys. Panache Ravipudi is the firm. And they also worked with a local firm in Las Vegas who brought the case. And it was just very much a team effort of very excellent trial lawyers and experts. And we just plugged in to, what do you need? Okay, here's the visual translations we need. Here's the medical imagery. And, you know, we really look at ourselves as it's a team approach.
That's awesome. That is so cool. So people can bring cases to more experienced attorneys and get access to experts that maybe that their firm doesn't have access to, and experts like you guys that can do reconstruction work and have verdicts like this and be a part of a huge team that they wouldn't normally be a part of. That's so heartwarming to have justice for someone who had to deal with something like that. That's crazy. What about like the rust incident? Can you talk about that one?
Yeah, definitely. So that one, I worked with Panache Ravipudi on, the same firm that spearheaded Marathi. And I was contacted. They contacted me on that case. And they're like, we got an interesting one for you. And it was pretty early on. And what we were tasked with doing was telling the story with as much detail as possible without interfering and without a lot of the discovery for the criminal investigation. Because as we know, I mean, Alec Baldwin is back in the news now. And they're looking at, you know, refiling criminal charges if they haven't already. Who knows if those will stick or not, but we were working on behalf of Helena Hutchins' husband and son. So we were tasked with putting a mediation piece together. We knew this one wasn't, we would have to revisit it if it were to go to trial. But the objective was to have a press conference, which they did, and release this to media outlets. And it was a narrated presentation walking through the elements and events. And I think I sent you the link, but it's you can Google it, and it went international. But it's a 9-minute presentation narrated by Brian Panish, the attorney, the lead attorney on the case, one of them. And it walks through, you know, and sets the scene that it's a dangerous movie set. They're cutting corners. They're working these guys way too many hours. There was already multiple misfirings and explosions that happened on set. There's text messages going back and forth of people quitting. There's an email of a production and gaffers team, you know, leaving that day that this happened. So what we wanted to do is best educate what exactly happened based off of what we know. And what we were able to do is recreate the scene based off of available evidence and some testimony and show exactly what we believe happened. And really what it came down to is the bullet that hit Helena Hutchins. We show the anatomy that it goes through. And then at the very end, we cap it off with all of the different violations that happened on set. So it was really just an all-inclusive storytelling piece that we knew could be chopped up and revisited for trial if needed. But this was what we call front-loading the missile. The liability was so egregious. Let's put it all on black and fire it off, because we knew that we wanted to get the narrative out there, which was the truth. And what I heard is that Alec Baldwin's attorneys advised him against the Stephanopoulos interview when he was talking about it. We utilized his own interview to narrate the 3D animation of wow. what happened. And so you could see his interview, and then we pop it up into the upper left of the screen, and we walk through and we animate what he is saying happened. And the bottom line of what happened is that a bullet made it into the gun, and he pulled the gun when the trigger was pulled. You know, there's questions on whether the gun was modified or it wasn't modified. Those details are still going to be forthcoming, I think, in, you know, criminal litigation. But what we know for sure is the gun was in his hand and it went off and it struck Helena Hutchins and then went through her and then hit the director, Joel Sousa, in the shoulder. So that's the story we told, and that's what we animated.
Wow. Wow. So cases involving personal injury and civil rights like George Floyd are super emotional. The approach that your company takes to create visuals that would convey necessary facts while still being respectful to victims and sensitive to an audience, you know, some people might feel emotional responses to the facts of George Floyd's case, some people not as much. How do you parse out what to use, what not to use? How do you take into consideration a jury that you've never met?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And we try to keep things as medically fact-based as possible. And there is a time and place for evoking emotion. The George Floyd case was so emotionally charged anyways. We tried to stay as medically factual as possible. That was an interesting one because when the infamous incident happened and when the video was being played, everyone was working from home at the time. You know, it was 2020. And I saw an attorney I know on the news, and it was Tony Romanucci. And he's the lawyer that spearheaded the case and that was on that case. And I know that I could hear there was a lot of different conflicting testimony about how he died, why he died. And I was like, this is a case where visuals are so important to what happened. So I actually called Romanucci and their office the day that he did the press conference and said that he was handling the lawsuit. and offered our services at, I mean, we pretty much did that one pro bono. We covered, I think, a tiny bit of cost on it, but it was not one where it was a normal job for us. And I called the CEO, I talked to him about it. We got on the same page and we were of one accord of let's be of service on this one to just find out what medically happened inside George Floyd's body and what led to him being deceased. And with that one, we produced this within, I think, 3 or 4 weeks, like after it happened. So riots are going on. I mean, there's unrest in the country. We had a room that this was being worked on where we brought no electronic devices into. We had a very specific crew that we selected to work on it because we didn't want anything released to be, you know, cognizant of, you know, the victim's family and wanted to make sure that everything was very dialed in and airtight. So we worked on this and we worked with the medical examiner that they hired on the case, the same medical examiner, Baden, that did Epstein and just very famous ME. And he walked us through what he found in the autopsy. And we were able to walk through specifically, here's what happened. Here's what medically happened inside George Floyd's body. So we take the video, we superimpose and then transition into a 3D environment where we could see just if we had X-ray vision, here's what was happening inside George Floyd's body. So in this case, we didn't have to add really any emotion to it. We almost had to pull back. We had to be careful. You know, it was tough to do that job because I had to watch the video and content so many times. But I had to do my best, which we always do, to divorce ourselves from emotional opinion and just focus on what are the facts that we know. And the facts on this one supported, you know, the findings to the plaintiff that it was misconduct and improper procedures were taken by all three officers. It was, you know, because there was a lot of things that happened inside of his body that made it to where he couldn't take a breath and he couldn't breathe. And then ultimately, led to his death. So in other cases, we may blur something out. You know, if we have a hit and run where somebody gets run over, or it's, you know, and we don't need to show the damage because it's a decedent. As soon as the car runs over the individual, we go right to a blur effect. Like we know what's behind the blur box. We don't need to show that. We try not to show much blood unless we have evidence or photos of it. There's really not a reason. So when it comes to our surgical animations, there's pretty much no blood. It is just, it's the bones, it's the incisions. So, you know, we try to be sensitive to that when it comes to the 3D work that we put out, depending on the case. You know, sometimes it's mediation and we want it to be more emotionally impactful because we know it's the adjusters and it's the other side that's seeing this. So it really depends on the venue and it depends on the audience. But, you know, there's a lot of tactics we can use and a lot that we specifically don't use depending on the case.
Well, I can't imagine anyone as a plaintiff's attorney not being interested after hearing all these successful presentations that you've been a part of. What about the cost model? Like how can we is it hourly? Is it every job has to be quoted? How does this work?
So every case is so unique. So it is quoted per job, but what we do is we'll talk about the case, we'll talk some shop about it, we'll hear about it, and then we will write up a scope and budget after we do some initial fact assessment. So our process is to hear about the case and what the need is, but also, you know, what we understand, it's got to make economic sense for a case. So if you have a case that's got a $500K policy or a $150K policy, I'm not going to propose an animation that is, you know, Alec Baldwin Rust level for 80 grand, you know, and it's going to be something that is tailored to what makes sense for that case. So the cost model is really just, it just depends on your case. What I can say is that rough ballparks of what we do, I think our average project cost is in the $30,000 range, maybe mid 30s. But, you know, we do projects where I'll do a spinal cord stimulator animation that we already have in stock and we just tweak it a little bit. We add a character model of your client, add their data, and it's $6,000 or $7,000, you know. So really it's under, you know, five figures. It's a couple thousand dollars up to I mean, we worked on the Thomas Fires cases that resulted in billions in settlements, and I think that one was over 200,000, you know, in services. But we're talking hundreds of plaintiffs, seven different law firms, I think 12 experts, and of course, billions of dollars that, you know, came in settlement for that. So it really just depends on the case. And visually, there's so many things you can do. I have these graphics that I'll create because I want my clients to win, right? So if I'm on the case, hey, what else do you need? Do you need a PowerPoint? Do you need a slide? And if there's things that I can do to help bolster your case, you know, then that's I'm on the team. That's what I want to do. So to answer the question in long form, man, it varies from several thousand to several hundred thousand. Depends on the case because every case is unique, but what we encourage is people to reach out and shoot over an operative note, shoot a traffic collision report, talk with us, and we will give you multiple options in a menu of what you can do to utilize visuals in the case.
That's really helpful. Thank you. The next question that partners with that, though, is do you guys operate on a lien? Do you have to pay this all up front? I mean, a lot of what we do as plaintiffs, personal injury experts, or attorneys, it's we're all in on the team and hopefully we get that verdict and then everyone can get their bill paid at the end of the case. Is that something that you guys are able to do or is everything paid up front?
I would say mostly everything is paid where we do a 50% deposit and then 50% upon completion and delivery. So when we deliver the product, our part is satisfied. However, we partner with Priority Responsible Funding out of Florida, which is a funding company that does it on lien. And we do liens ourselves on certain specific select cases. I could think of a client out of Louisiana, Damon Curvin, fantastic attorney. And we did a case with him where he knew this. I mean, this was an egregious case. We had a husband and wife who had just retired. They were sleeping in a parking lot with their dogs and with everything they owned in their RVs because they had just put money down on a property in Colorado. And a driver that already has a ton of issues and was a known a sex offender, had been known to falsify his logs and not go to sleep. He had quit because he was overworked, but then they enticed him back with like a $100 bonus. He fell asleep at the wheel, went over the grass median, and then into this parking lot, hit both of their vehicles, destroyed everything they own, and catastrophically injured both of them. The defendant on that case knew, I mean, the liability was locked. So much so to where before the case was even getting going, litigation-wise, I think before they even saw a judge in any sense, they were paying the medical bills of the plaintiffs. So, wow. If that's not a sign of like, hey, we know we messed up. How can we make this right? So he called me and said, you know, we put together a deal where he put some down. He's like, hey, this is not an if, it's a how much. So ride with me on this one. And we did, you know. So what we'll do is sometimes we'll attach a little bit of a flat fee, not a going rate, but a flat fee of like, okay, we're going to do another, you know, X percentage or X amount where we ride with you for 6 months or years. I have cases right now where we've been, you know, riding with them for several years and it is finally coming through and then we're going to get paid when they get paid, you know. So we are game for that, as my CEO will say. We're always interested in hearing about the case because I think there are opportunities where, you know, the visual workup can be such an added value that it makes sense in the right type of case to, you know, to get the really high end workup, and you know, and we'll take a chunk down, and you know, ride until it comes home. So,
what do you expect is the low end of where that makes sense? Like you mentioned, $500,000 policies, $250,000 policy, $100,000 policy. Where do you see the low end of what you guys consider people using your services for?
Sure. You know, I think it depends. So to me, I look at it a little bit of as an ROI as well. So if you can spend, if you have a $100,000 policy and they have a $25,000 offer or a $50,000 offer, and you spend $7,000 on a spinal cord stimulator animation or a stock C4, C5 cervical and discectomy infusion, something in that nature, and it gets you another 25 or maxes out the policy, then it can be worth it. I think, you know, around the 100K policy range, usually we're working in the seven-figure policy range. That's just where we get the most calls. But, you know, we do colorized and textured medical imagery that, again, can be a couple thousand dollars, you know, where you just, you're including that in your brief or your demand, and then it just, it assists in adding value. In other cases we've worked on, we have testimonials of people saying, you know, I had a $50,000 offer, it's a $250,000 policy. I submitted the animation and they maxed out the policy. So they spent 25 with us and it, you know, got them 250, you know. Yeah. Obviously we are very aware we're not the sole component, you know. You have to, you have to be a great lawyer, and you have to you know, work the case. You really have to work the case. And but I think with that, having the passion and seeing the value of why not go for the full amount, you know, your client deserves it, is I think a mindset that can be adopted amongst you know, some attorneys that we've worked with, of just, hey, ask for it all, you know. And so I think it really just depends on your case, but we have such a wide range of what type of visuals are available. I even if you have a smaller case, give me a call. We can at least talk. I'd love to be a resource for you. And there's cases where I've said, hey, Google this or send this, or I'll give you some pointers that don't cost you anything, because I'm about relationships and I want to be the guy you call when you do get your big case. So I'm going to treat it like, you know, a valued call and a valued time. So, you know, and that's how our company works.
Well, Alex, that's been very apparent to me since the first time you and I spoke, and I really do appreciate that, because while I don't have any $160 million cases under my belt at this point, you know, it's just a matter of time. That's it.
That's right. That's right. So
looking ahead, are there any new projects or directions that you're excited for DK Global with innovative technology changes or AI or anything like that?
Yeah, we're always looking at stuff. We a while back had an app called Trial Touch that was like you could utilize from the cloud and do, you know, run trial presentations off of an iPad. We veered away from that because, man, the app space and Apple's changes and all of that, it's a tough space to operate in profitably. But you know, when it comes to being innovative, we're looking at AR, augmented reality. We've toyed around with having the VR goggles on and being able to be inside of a reconstruction animation, to where you can literally walk around and move yourself around to get a different vantage point of a vehicle accident or a pedestrian versus a vehicle accident. So we've looked at some of that. And we definitely were working on a lot of things. When it comes to AI, we're exploring how that can be beneficial in the visuals realm. Usually everything is so custom, it needs a hand touch with kind of what we do. But we do have some things that we're looking at when it comes to like scene building, you know, like building a 3D scene of an intersection. Are there parts that AI can generate based off of, you know, Google Maps and photos? And, you know, so we are looking at those things. And, you know, we have a brilliant, you know, IT specialist and architect of a lot of the softwares that we use and that he has created and we've built as a team. I would say, you know, augmented reality is something that we're looking at, especially, you know, with the new Apple goggles that came out. We're looking at that and seeing, you know, for the right case, who would need that and is there a need for that in, you know, inside of a jury trial.
That's so interesting. That's awesome. Well, Alex, I really appreciate your time. Just in closing, I'm super excited to just share your contact information. How can people get a hold of you? How can people reach out to DK Global?
Absolutely. So you can just Google DK Global and you can reach out to us. My email and phone number and our company's email and phone number is just, you know, on our website. You can go to dkglobal.com and that is how you can get a hold of us. And I think you can Google my information and cell phone information as well. And I'm always game to talk shop. I love to talk about cases and strategy. And even if it's where you just want to, you know, bounce some ideas off of me, and I can always, usually I can find a case that we've worked on that's similar to yours. So maybe it's just a conversation at this point, but you know, I'm a firm believer in conversations, you know, then ultimately lead to working together. You know, I have a lot of very long-term client relationships that call me for everything, or they'll call me if they just need some advice on how do I don't have a budget for this, but what would you do in this case? So, Google, dkglobal.com, and you can has our phone numbers and email addresses on there. So, please, reach out. If you have any questions, we'd love to be your tour guides into the visual realm.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Alex. Please stay on because I'm going to ask you some questions about my cases right after this. I definitely encourage any plaintiff attorneys to reach out to you to use these services to not let the insurance companies off the hook, to get those policy limits and get what your clients deserve. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Alex, for being here. Adios.
My pleasure. Take care.